heavens and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Why the word? Because it is the very embodiment of God Himself. The word became flesh. Jesus is the word. And He came in the flesh. Take the form of man. Learn obedience, tempted in every way like us, and yet without sin. And He dwelt among us. And the Apostle John says, we behold Him, and the glory of God's grace was in Him. I think these thoughts alone are sufficient, even this morning, to uplift our hearts, to inspire faith in us, to give us not just a strong conviction, but an unwavering confidence of who He is that we submit to as our Savior and our Lord. It is because of all this that Jesus, when He declares, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me. I have come that you may have life and life to its fullest abundance. In the context of the word, Jesus Himself becoming flesh. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is being authenticated. Meditate for a moment with you on these thoughts. That as you have this as the foundation, the solid anchor, Jesus Himself, that anchor of your life, everything else builds from there. And everything else will fall apart without that anchor. And then when we claim His promises, when we believe that He has said He causes all things to work together for good unto us who love Him and have been called according to His purpose, circumstances become circumstantial. God is the unchanging one. God is the sovereign Lord. God is the one who holds all things together, even our very own lives. And every single detail therein. How can we be not confident and be so assured in the security of such a God? Lord, we thank You. Simple, blessed time of worship that helps us to be still, to learn to be still, like the psalmist would say, and to know that You are God. Oftentimes, it is the problems and the challenges and difficulties and needs in our lives, Lord, that we grapple with, that we struggle in, that we run to You for help in prayer, for comfort, for ministry, for assurance. And yet, Lord, as we allow our lives to be built on Your word and Your word alone, line by line, precept by precept, You build us in our most holy faith as You teach us also to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit of the living God. Thank You. Lord, we pray this prayer with such assurance for every single one of us, whatever our individual situation. There are so those who are really grappling with heavy burdens, anxieties, even fears. And yet, whatever our situation may be, casting all our cares unto You because You invite us to do so, because You love us and You care for us. Our burdens are lifted at the foot of the cross of Calvary. But Lord, let it not be that only when we come because of needs and difficulties and burdens and problems, and then run just as quickly once we experience some kind of ministry and help from you. But Lord, let it be that steadfast, diligent seeking of your face, knowing you through your word, allowing your spirit to be our teacher, because you said you've given us the spirit who will guide us into all truth. He will bring for us remembrance of your word that we have read, and this will strengthen the inner person in each one of us, that we stand firm on the authority of the name of Jesus and on his eternal word. And so in Jesus' mighty name right now, Lord, we pray against all powers of darkness, all spiritual opposition, all obstacles that we face. We pray against our problems, not because we want to see them magically being lifted up and solved, but because we know, Lord, you undertake on our behalf. Your eye is on the sparrow. How much more are your eyes on each one of us? So, Lord, we thank you. And as you gather us again as a family each Sunday, it is for the mutual bonding and strengthening and upholding of one another, provoking one another unto love and to good works. There is an individual responsibility that we bear our own burdens. But there is also the corporate loving responsibility as a body of Christ that we bear one another's burdens and therefore fulfill the law of Christ. The laws are not just rigid laws. Laws set out to condemn us, but laws that will guide us in the path of righteousness as we walk before you. Lord, we pray for this fellowship, this family of God, in a loving way right now. For every individual, every marital couple, every family unit. And not just for us here gathered in this sanctuary, but together, Lord, with others joining us on Zoom service, others who are not able to be with us because of travel or other commitments or other issues. We stand as a family right now and thank you for the privilege, power, and blessing of unity in prayer, in love, and in faith in the Holy Spirit. You hear every cry of the heart. You know every single problem that we face. You know every detail of our lives. And you are in control, and in control in the most loving and caring way that we will ever know. So we give you all praise, all glory, recognizing that, Lord, as we pray this, we have come before you confessing our sins in repentance, whether sins and transgressions committed wittingly or unwittingly. We plead the blood of Jesus for your forgiveness, for your cleansing, healing, and restoration. And above all else, Lord, keep us faithful and fight the good fight. Finish the race. Keep the faith with the assurance that faithful are you who have called us. You will bring all things to pass. And to this, Lord, we give you all praise, all honor, glory, power, worship, and adoration. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Please be seated. Shahira, thank you very much for a wonderful time of worship. Everybody, blessed Mother's Day today, especially if you are sitting next to a mother or your wife or your own mother right now. Would you just turn to a mother and say, blessed Mother's Day? You know, there's the joke, right? Sometimes Father's Day and others day, we say, yeah, today's Father's Day, today's Children's Day. They say, yeah, just today. All other days are Mother's Days, right? And as you came in, you were banded with a wristband of love. And I jokingly say that there are three colors. You are going to be formed into three teams. Wow, some of them hear that say, wow, got 4 feet one, is it? Are we playing games? Is this a church camp again or whatever? Then some decided to change colors. I was just joking. But I just want you to know that these wristbands are very lovingly prepared by Sister Jean. So it's not so much what is it, but who has gone behind in that labor of love to tie you up into the bond of love that we share as a family of God in Jesus Christ. Amen? And also, after the service, we will adjourn for a time of cake cutting and some refreshments, because I'm sure that many of you in past previous years, we noticed you have made your own arrangements for celebration. But we'll do a simple one after the service where the Chinese ministry will be joining us. So, happy Mother's Day. What better passage than to go to the one text that you always go to, an excellent woman. I jokingly shared with Sister Meng Ling last week, because the week before at the watch 1 hour, when she was praying for the ladies' fellowship, she used this text. So I say, Meng Ling, you have practiced the prayer. Maybe this Sunday you do the preaching. Said, no la, pastor, cannot. How can I that one? But do you notice something? Only women has a very specific passage in a concise way in honor of you. Men don't get it. The men don't get it. That's what it is. And I'll just start with the first verse in this last 22 verses of Proverbs 31. And I want to use the Amplified Bible, where it says, an excellent woman, and amplified, so it amplifies for you, gives you some other understanding of what excellence means. One who is spiritual, one who is capable, one who is intelligent, one is virtuous. Well, the perfect woman. You got a lot of perfect women to look for, look out for, pray for, and love and live with. Who is he who can find her? Her value is more precious than jewels, and her worth is far above rubies or pearls, or some other translations say diamonds. So I suggest you can add whatever precious stones that you feel like you want to be compared with, and you are far better than this. What is this passage all about? And why is it so unique? 22 verses using the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And it's a poem in praise of woman. Now, we've given you pre-reading week before. I trust that you read this. We won't read the whole text. But then I will come and share this passage today by just summarizing the qualities in four aspects. I call them the star qualities of an excellent woman. Now, this is, of course, the way I organize this text that helps me to remember what are the key thoughts in this text. You may add, you may subtract, whatever, where this is concerned, no problem. But just to give us a sense of what are the things that God sees in the qualities of a woman, that God will say and describe that woman as an excellent woman. S-T-A-R, star. Star not appearing. Star, show yourself. Spiritual. Starts with the spirituality of the woman. And like I said, I'll just pick up the verses. You may just want to take note of the verses and read it in detail again later on in the context of the whole passage. Strength and honor are the clothing of such a woman. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth and it's wisdom. And on her tongue, the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household. She does not eat the bread of idleness. Verses 25 to 27. She's not an excellent woman because she's adorned with the most expensive and luxurious of clothings, with all the other fine trippings. Your bracelets, your necklaces, your anything else. her clothing is all about strength and honor. And in her, the joy of the Lord is what sustains her. Yeah, sure. She, like anyone else, will face problems, difficulties, sometimes feels so tired, perhaps even so overwhelmed by circumstances that some of you might be facing. And yet, in such times, the joy of the Lord is her strength. Rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. You know, joy, I suppose, is truly one of the most important virtues that we seek after. Because when there is joy in us, it exudes from us. It is reflected from our demeanor, our expression. And people can see, wow, you look joyful. And may not know behind your face and not facade, but your face of joy, you can be grappling with all kinds of difficulties and problems, but you are strengthened because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And when you speak, even in spite of things that are against you, you choose kindness. You don't retaliate. You don't repay evil for evil. You repay evil with good. Paul writes in Romans, we'll come to this text in due course, pray for your enemies. In so doing, you actually heap coals of fire upon them. You watch over the ways of your household. You do not eat the bread of idleness. You keep yourself spiritually focused. Then in verses 30 and 31, the two concluding verses, it's all summarized. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruits of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Summarized by saying, don't look at the external. Charm, beauty, as people look externally. But fear of the Lord, the ultimate characterization of a spiritual woman or man. A real fear, reverence. Fear not as if you are afraid to be punished, but fear that is really respect and reverence that comes out of a heart of deep gratitude and thanksgiving for who God is and what He's done for us. And so to such a woman, God says, give her the fruits of her hands. Praise her for all the works, all that she's done. Sometimes we don't appreciate our wives, our mothers enough. We take for granted, expected that she'll do the laundry, she'll do the cooking, she'll take care of the children, she'll attend as the minister of home affairs to the things at home. And we just assume that that's your task. Men's task is go win and bring in the bread and butter and all that. I just pause for a moment. I just came across an article that talks about divorce rates that are so much on the increase. About how with older couples, resentment actually can build up. Sometimes you think, oh, and they were married and lived happily ever after. Maybe initial years, yes. With unified, similar goal, objective, and purpose. But as they move on in years in marriage, take one another for granted. Perhaps especially for the woman, if she's a homemaker and is always stuck with the chores at home. Man has another environment to enjoy, really, and to interact. It's not easy. I'm sharing this because I think you understand, without me going into deeper details, why there must be that shared bond of unity and purpose. When you are first married, oh, the thrill, the lovey-dovey feeling, butterflies in the stomach feeling all there. You're still in your prime of your youth. Easy to get along, attractive to each other. But when middle kingdom start coming out and all other features of the body doesn't seem quite like they are very nice looking, and coupled with other issues, all this come out. What will become your shared purpose? And I suggest to you that very often it will be, and when there is a case, the family. The joy of seeing your children grow up and having their own families. The joy of ministry, getting involved in church work that brings a lot of satisfaction, not just doing altruistic work, philanthropic work, but really helping people moving along. Let me share another thought that I came across. This man was asked, oh, you've been married so many years, and how do you continue to keep the flame of your love alive? And especially when physically, that's how we are attracted, isn't it? We always love at first sight. Beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. I like one answer a man said. And he said, I will never body shame my wife. I will never body shame my wife who has given me, when we together had, 3 precious, wonderful children. That really hit me in a good way, very good way. That you appreciate a woman for who she is. Summarizing it, I think when we approach a relationship beyond a physical. I have my guidelines of how you choose a partner, but maybe we leave it for another session. But fundamentally, the spiritual dimension has to be there as a solid anchor, because you are on the same foundation. You share the same faith. You have the same focus, Jesus, the author, perfecter of your faith. You have the same functions in life. And you share the same future in eternity. Amen? Trustworthy, second thought. She's also trustworthy because the Bible says so. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. So he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Can you imagine a man marrying a woman and half the time maybe going to sleep, say, I may not wake up tomorrow. My wife murders me or something like that. Some of you are laughing. But it'd be very pathetic and sad if that's the case, isn't it? Where there is no trust. Verses 23 and then 20 to 29 gives us some more inputs on this aspect of trustworthiness. To the extent that the husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. I think this verse is very powerful. It's about a man who can hold his own, elders of the land, gates out in the open, somebody who can stand strong, tall, because he knows behind every successful man is a woman. I think that's where you get it from. Not just the husband, the children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and the husband praises her saying, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. I think this is where you always say, my best father, my best mother, my best wife. I think if one wife, sure, best wife lah. But father also, right? Where you say, this is the best father in my life. Sure, we understand that distinction between your father and other fathers, and you make that distinction boldly. No problem with that. Because others are also making the same distinction. Their father's also the best. So everyone is the best. But the idea here is that here, this woman provides, as you like, that glue holding power, so that family stays together. spouse, the husband, and children are so blessed with such a wife and such a mother in the family. To be very sure, as we continue, these are not ideals. These are actually attainable standards, if you like, that we can pursue after. That we can say, in Christ, this is what it's all about. That makes us different. If I may just digress a bit and you talk about unequal yoke. Can you marry a non-believer, so and so forth? No end to that kind of justification. How you know God don't want to use me to convert my fiancé into a Christian and all that things? We are always very, very legitimate, you know, and very clear when our human desires come into play and we can explain. We can justify anything and everything you want to do. Isn't that true? But when there are spiritual standards and not just ideals set out for us, there is a reason. Nothing will come close to this. And you will not fall or fail because of this. At least you know because you have obeyed God. And you've been found faithful to His word. A woman who is spiritual, one who is trustworthy. I think you can start forming your own letters, right? What the next one? What's the next one? Affectionate. A woman of affection. A woman of love. How is that done? How is that expressed? Not just the nice feelings of love, but she shows that love in what she does. She rises while it's yet night. She provides food not just only for her household, but also a portion for her maid servants. This is really a woman of big heart. A woman that takes care of her own household, but also all those that to whom she can minister to. Her love is not selfish. Her love is not just confined to her own family. She sees a larger family of God outside. She sees needs of people who may not have the avenues to love that her own household has. And she provides. She extends her hand to the poor. That's the extension. She reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself, and her clothing is fine linen and purple. So this thought about the affection, the love, is not so much just about emotions and feelings. It's about a practical expression of love that is shown. When you go to a meal, your sister-in-law or organize, oh, don't you feel so warm in your hearts, so thankful? Or you yourself are the host, and you invite them. Or when we have our fellowship, the combined care groups ministry that Elder Bunsing oversees, I can see this group of people, 30 or so of you or more, no mistaking. The brotherly, sisterly love is very real, very, very much manifested. And not just saying words of love. You express it. And you express it in very loving, caring ways. Love without the action means nothing. You can love a person, he cannot just live, or she cannot just live on love alone. The feelings of love. There must be the practical expressions of the love that stems from the heart of love in you. Finally, R, very resourceful person. You'll be surprised, you know. Her territory is not just in the kitchen or in the home. She's very resourceful. She seeks wool and flax willing works with her hands. She's like the merchant ships. She brings food from afar. Let us continue the next text, then you get a sense of what it is. So this is a woman who works, is resourceful. Like merchant ships, she brings food from afar. She provides for the family. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. Oh, yeah. Very good property agent. Super. She girds herself with strength and she strengthens her arms. Girds herself with strength, strengthens her arm. Why repetition? Just the emphasis that this is a strong woman, not easily shaken. Whenever you read, and especially in the Old Testament, the Hebrew style of writing, when it's repeated, it's really for emphasis. One who girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. A woman of great strength, right? She perceives that her merchandise is good. Her lamp does not go out by night. Well, she still works into the night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds a spindle. Now, I have problems with this word, distaff. What is it? Spindle. Then just look up dictionary. Oh, they are the parts of the equipment that they use to do all this making of fine linens, fine linen garments. And she makes these linen garments, sells them, supplies sashes for the merchants. Wow. Sometimes I see this text, possible or not. This woman, everything at home, outside, within herself, out of herself, everything also have. But that's what God describes the woman that she gives to men. When he created, you go back to the story of creation, everything was good. When a recount of the creation was made and came to the part where he created man and woman, he says it was very good. It was all good, but then it's not good for man to be alone. Created man, woman from the side of the man. And what did he do? First thing? He blessed them. You know, the Christian home, the Christian family, the Christian husband, the Christian wife, the Christian father, the Christian mother. Bible has so much to say about these things because the gospel message is framed in a family kind of relationship. God becomes our Father. The church is the bride of Jesus Christ. We are a family of God. So today I just simply share with you these four thoughts concerning an excellent woman and the virtues that we've just read. And we're going to pray for all women later on, and for all men, and for all families, that what will come out of this is that you really have a family heritage. You leave a legacy more important than the wealth that you leave behind for your children or even your grandchildren. More important than any other material comforts and benefits to give your children a head start. You know what is the legacy? Do you know what is the heritage? And I'll close with this last verse as we look at how Paul describes concerning the upbringing of Timothy, his son in the faith. Paul says, I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, Timothy, which first dwelt in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Lois, and now I'm persuaded is also in you. It's a very powerful verse of heritage and legacy. Three generations. Some of us here, what, we have four generations here in our church already. Not boasting. And I'm not saying that, oh, that's wrong or anything. Not boasting in wealth and riches, giving children head start in their studies, preparing them for the educational system that I think now is under great review. The stress that we put them through and then wonder why mental health now is number one problem, right? Just recently we heard this, and especially among younger ones. Teenage suicide, children lost, juvenile delinquency. No money, no amount of money, medical help, counseling facilities, whatever can solve this. This is a better way. This is the way. The Timothy or whoever else you may have in your family, how is that child growing up? And what example has been set for him or her that we know that God values above all else? I remember the genuine faith in you. And I pray that we pray for our child, our children, our grandchildren, above all else. Cover them with the blood of Jesus. I do that every day, and I do that really honestly. I do that for all the children in our church. I'm just thanking God for the family. Oh yeah, God, you know me, I say this, I'm a bit more of a melancholic kind of nature, you know, a bit more the pessimist in some ways. And I worry things might go wrong for people, go wrong for myself and all that. And sometimes I know I can alarm you by saying this. But I also tell you that I also, at the end, more. Let us pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you today on this very special day as we commemorate loving care, and to the power and the authority of your eternal word. We pray for each one to be such an excellent woman, excellent in ways that, Lord, you approve, that you value. Not by the standards of the world, but in virtues of spirituality, of trustworthiness, of affection, and even of resourcefulness. Bless every single one of them, Lord, we pray, in such a special way this morning, for this day and all the days to come. We thank you, we ask, in Jesus' name, amen. Put it on. I may have switched off.
Okay. Happy Mother's Day to all mothers, and good afternoon, brothers and sisters. So, indeed, a day in the true and living God's courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. The psalmist says, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in tents of wickedness. So, today as we are gathered here, no, we are not in the tabernacle or the temple, right? Or the Holy of Holies. We are more than that. We are in Christ Jesus, who is the true temple, and us as a corporate body, we are where Jesus dwells. So, thank God. Very glad that we are all here in the midst of one another. Okay. Today, I'll just give us some announcements. Okay, so next week's sermon, we'll go back to Romans series. Okay, so read beforehand Romans 6. Next, this is the young adults meeting. So do take note for young adults, those of you involved, Wonders of Work was postponed until further notice. So we know that many of you who wanted to come couldn't make it, due to circumstances not related to the election. And yeah, but otherwise, young adults, it's been quite a long while since we last met, okay? So we hope you are looking forward to dig deeper into God's Word together. Also, we know that you are very busy. Many of us are very busy. But I'd like to encourage us again, like, this is the one avenue where we have a platform and a place to meet with one another, to pray and encourage one another from God's Word. So do take note, next week, 17 May, we are going to meet and resume our studies in the book of Luke. Watch 1 hour. So the prayer team for this week is going to be led by Auntie Sun Li, Sister Shana, Sister Wei Li, Sister Phoebe, Sister Shi Min, and Brother Jerome. I'd like to take this time to also remind us of the link that we have to submit our prayer requests. So far, we've been praying through some of the requests that we have been submitting, we have received. And yeah, as Pastor mentioned just now, we are a church that stands together and bear each other's burdens. So I do encourage you all, if you have a burning prayer request or something on your heart that you want brothers and sisters to come alongside you and pray, yeah, do use this link or just approach anybody on this list or Auntie Rennie. Next. Okay, can I invite the ushers to come forward? Invite Uncle Teo to lead us in prayer.
Okay, let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we prepare to offer our tithes and offering, we come before you with hearts full of faith and gratitude. We acknowledge that everything we have comes from you, and we give in obedience and worship. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, according to Hebrews 1:16. We offer this time as an expression of our love and trust in your provision. May it be used to further your kingdom and bless those in need. Lord, we give and we ask that you open the windows of heaven and pour out your blessing upon our lives. In Jesus' name, our provider, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So this is the QR code for those of you who prefer to give electronically. Okay, as the bags are being passed on, I just have one last announcement for church camp, right? So, yeah, we need everybody to please pay the balance payments for camp. So this week, there'll be a booth set up, and by next week, we hope to receive everything. because we need to submit a payment to the hotel already, okay? So from the camp committee, they request that you give do so by e-payment, or if you want to use cash, then exact payment would be preferred lah. But of course, I think they'll have some spare cash on hand or so. Okay, so do check out with the registration team, registration booth later, like how much is the balance, and make payment either this week or next. Yes? Okay. Those who haven't gave your passport details or so, please, passport details, date of birth, and all the additional details, please also go to the booth and fill up all this. Or if you want, you can also text Sujin all these details. And this is a reminder for everyone. Please go and check if your passports have more than 6 months validity from church camp date, okay? Not from today, from church camp date. So I did a math already, meaning your passport must expire after 15 December 2025. So if it's before that, November, October, or whatnot, you know you need to go and renew your passport already, okay? So, yeah, that's all we have for the church camp update. Yeah, so, yeah, please cooperate with the registration team, okay? Sujin will come after you if you don't cooperate, not me. Yeah, so make things easy for our brothers and sisters. Those who are missing this year due to various reasons, we're really sad. We'll miss you when we go for camp, but we do look forward to seeing you next year at least. Yeah. Okay, I think that's it for announcements. One last thing. So today, later after service, we have a short celebration for all mothers. Yeah. So we do encourage all the mothers especially, and even if you are not a mother, your mother is not here, please also go out and support them. We like to use this time to celebrate and honor them. Yeah, and it'll be a nice thing to just have fellowship after service. Okay, shall we stand as we sing the final closing song?